Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. I'm glad you're here. Barry Kunche is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend, but he's a friend of an old friend of ours. And we're glad he's here. He's a renowned leadership consultant. He works for the Gallup organization, an organization you've heard me speak of many times on this show. He helps corporate leaders like you and me, large and small, put their organization's best foot forward in the marketplace. And he and our friend Tom Rath, who's also with Gallup, the friend I was telling you about a minute ago, that we have our mutual friend, Tom and Barry have written a book, outstanding book, very well timed, called Strengths-Based Leadership. And Barry's our new friend. Barry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you here. Barry, congratulations on your book. Say hello to Tom for us. Tell him we missed him today. When I think about what's going on right now in our world, we've got a passel of problems, as my dad used to say, and we can solve these problems, but throwing money at these problems, we've already found out from what the government has done, the governments I should say has done, throwing money at these problems is not solving the problems. It's just kicking the can down the road. It seems to me, we've got to focus on leadership. We've got to invest in leadership. We've got to define leadership and find those people who can lead and who can lead with values. What do you think?
Well, Jim, I think we have to find the right kind of leadership, and we have to help leaders discover what it is that they can really do that will have the greatest impact. And I'm not talking about technical things. I actually think it starts with them thinking about the kind of leaders that they are. It's quite remarkable, you know, when we've been researching leadership for as long as we have. You know, one of the most interesting findings that we discovered in the research that went into the book was that the very best leaders are not well-rounded, but their teams are. What we mean by
What do you mean by that?
Well, what we mean by that is that for so long we've operated on an assumption that leaders have to be all things to all people, or they have to be as competent as they can be in as many possible areas as they can.
Right, right.
We found that isn't the truth when you look at some of the very, very best leaders and the most effective leaders. The most effective leaders are absolutely not well balanced. They are not excellent at everything. In fact, they've got some pretty glaring deficiencies, but the reason why they're so good is that not only are they aware of those deficiencies, but they specifically pick people around them who are far better in those areas than they are, and they make sure that across a team they've got the right kind of blend of leadership talent, and as a consequence the aggregate effect in terms of what they can then achieve is so much more than an individual leader who tries to be good at everything. In fact, Jim, we found that the individual leader who tries to be good at everything tends to be one of the most mediocre leaders in our study.
And so what I hear you saying, I think, is that one of the key traits of a leader is that not that they know how to do everything, but they actually don't know how to do everything, but more importantly, they recognize that. They know that that's a deficiency, and they find people to supplement their deficiencies.
They do. That there is absolutely no value in a leader showing up to work every day pretending to be something. And the only person that seems to be able to fool themselves on that is the leader themselves, because everybody else can pretty much see through it. So rather than turn up to work and try to do things where clearly you are unsuited and ineffective, you're not going to deliver world-class performance by becoming average in something. You're going to be delivering world-class performance by positioning yourself around areas of brilliance and making sure that those average areas are covered by people who are equally brilliant.
Well, now, see, here's what you just said, and what we've been talking about is why this is important for small business owners, and I'll tell you why. Small business owners get this thing in their head that we're supposed to know how to do everything. We're supposed to know everything already. You know, we're this, we have this little company, and we're feeling, you know, kind of like like a little ant in the big anthill, you know, and we're the little guys, and are the little fish in the sea, maybe is a better analogy. And so we think that if we don't know something, we can't admit that, because if we admit that to anybody, that's dramatizing our inability to be competitive. And that's one of the biggest mistakes I think small business owners make. And so consequently, when we think that we believe the world thinks we should know these things, we actually wind up not finding out the answer, because or we wind up not hiring somebody and giving them, you know, who can fill that need, who can fill that void that we have, because it puts us in it makes us feel uncompetitive, it makes us feel weak, and that's a mistake.
Well, Jim, I think it's important that we don't allow our egos to determine how it is that we lead.
Ego and fear, both of those two things.
You know, we surveyed 1,000 U.S. adults in a Gallup poll not long ago. 97% of the people that we surveyed rated themselves at being at or above average in leadership. Now, you know, it's clear that people see themselves as being effective leaders, but the reality is that we have to understand what it is that we're good at and what we're not good at, and surround ourselves with people who can compensate for our deficiencies, because if we don't do that, then we're really setting ourselves up for failure. We have yet to find the well-rounded leader.
What is the prime characteristic of a leader?
Well, after 40 years of looking at this, Jim, there is no one set of characteristics that can answer that question for you. But what we did find was that the very best leadership resulted from a team that had balance across four broad areas of leadership. They had to be very good at executing, getting the job done. They had to be very good at influencing people, both inside and outside the organization. They had to be outstandingly good relationship builders, and they had to have very, very good strategic thought capacity. Now, those four broad dimensions are critical mm-hmm. across a team. Fascinating thing is that no leader that we studied is proficient in all of those four mm-hmm. areas. But they
hold on to that. Hold on to that thought, Barry. We're going to take a quick break here, folks. One of my mentors once said that one of the marks of a leader is someone who's convinced other people to follow them. And that, I'll ask Barry what he thinks about that statement. When we come back after these messages, the book is called Strengths-Based Leadership by Barry Conchie and Tom Rath. We're going to be right back, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check out my blog while you're there. Check out my knowledge base, askjim.biz, while you're there. And, of course, you can listen to your little heart's content to interviews that we've done in the past with really smart people like our guest, Barry Conchie, right now. We've got thousands of interviews with all these smart people in our brain trust that you can listen to, and you can read their articles and what they have to say as well. You can don't forget also to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. We send it to you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. Barry, as I say, is with the Gallup organization, the Gallup poll folks, and he and Tom Rath have written a book called Strengths-Based Leadership. Tom, tell us where they can find the book.
Well, Jim, they can find the book in all the usual outlets. It's probably down in your local bookstore, either as an independent or a big chain. You can get it on the usual internet outlets like Amazon, right. Barnes & Noble, Borders. And, you know, it's ready and available to buy.
So check it out when you get a chance, folks. Strengths-Based Leadership. Is there a website for the book?
Well, you can go to Gallup.com, and take you straight through to the book site. There's a dedicated site within our own website for the book, so you can find out more about the research and more about what the content is.
Good deal. So check that out, folks, Gallup.com. Barry, when we went to the break, I was saying one of my mentors once said that, the way he actually said it was, we were talking about another individual, And he said, that guy wants to be a leader, but he can't find anybody to follow him. And in other words, his point was, you know, if you're going to be a leader, you got to be able to convince other people to follow you. Is that a good indicator of a leader?
I think it's a very, very apt comment, Jim. It's hard to be a leader if nobody's following. It will be a very lonely game. What we did in the research for the book was undertook what we think is probably the world's largest study of followership. We've seen many books on leaders and their characteristics, and we wanted to look at leaders through a follower lens. What do followers look for in leaders? And we did 10,000 interviews to try to find out what followers see in leaders, to see whether there are any common needs. And we were actually blown away because we found four things that kept coming up time and time and time again. And it didn't seem to matter whether people were thinking of a leader of a country, a leader of a company, or a leader in the community. These four things were very consistent. So trust. You have to have trust in what the leader says and what the leader stands for.
Mm-hmm.
The leader needs to show compassion towards followers, a sense that they care about those people. The third thing was that they look for stability in leadership, so they don't want leaders who are swinging all over the place. They want good, predictable stability. And the fourth component, and this is the bit that might speak more to what you said in your introduction, Jim, and that is that they're looking for leaders who instill hope and optimism, people who can say, look, let's be realistic about the challenges ahead, but we'd better instill a sense of hope and optimism, because if we don't do that, it's going to be very, very hard to pick people up and make people commit. Now, those four things are absolutely critical needs that followers have, and any leader that fails to address them, I think, is going to be struggling.
One of the things that, you know, implicit in what you just said is the idea of courage and decision making. To me, I mean, when you mention those four things, you've got to me, a leader without courage who doesn't demonstrate courage is not going to be a leader for very long. And a leader that can't make decisions, even if all the decisions are not correct, even if some of them are mistakes, leaders have to be able to make decisions, don't they?
They do, and we hope they're going to be right decisions. If they create those conditions amongst followers, the chances are those decisions will be will have a better chance of success, because people will commit and follow and try to make them succeed. One of the aspects, Jim, that's interesting about followership was this whole notion of whether or not a person feels that their company or organizational leadership makes them enthusiastic about the future. And we specifically researched this as part of the study. Here's what we found. We found that if people strongly agree that their company leadership makes them enthusiastic about the future, they've got a 7 out of 10 chance of being highly engaged at work. And being highly engaged is a very, very desirable characteristic.
That's a big deal right now. We have a deficit. We have a deficit of that in the marketplace right now.
Well, if you disagree with that, and if you don't think your leadership makes you enthusiastic about the future, only 1 in 100 people are engaged in those leaders.
Right.
So the whole notion of this, yes, it is about courage, it is about decisiveness. If you cannot instill a sense of purpose and optimism in people, mm-hmm. that makes them feel hopeful, you're going to create massive levels of disengagement in your organization.
Barry, I've got about a minute left. There's a lot of fear in the marketplace right now. In my career, I've never seen so much fear in the marketplace at a lot of different levels. What does a leader have to do? What should a leader do over the next 12 months to try to minimize that fear, but as you said earlier, deal with the reality?
I think stability is a big issue in leadership right now, and the last thing that leaders should be doing is lurching and swinging on the pendulum from issue to issue, trying to find out what the fix is. Our research shows you've got to do predictable things consistently through good times and through bad, and give that sense of overarching stability in an organization that makes people feel that there's some sense of future destiny. The whole idea of, well, we'll jump onto this bandwagon or we'll go towards that issue because everybody else is, probably might not be the smartest move right now. It seems that big issue for many organizations is, let's create a sense of stability and destiny.
Right. Well said. Barry Kunche, thank you for being here. Good job today. Congratulations on the book. Be sure to say hi to Tom Rath. The website is Gallup.com. If you want to go there and find out all the things that they do there at Gallup, and also you can find out more about the book there, but it's available wherever books are sold. Barry, will you come back another day?
I'd love to. It'd been a pleasure, Jim.
We'll do it again. Thanks a lot. Barry Kunche, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be too, right after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.